Confessions of a Trainwreck. Commandment number 134. Thou shalt remember that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Hola, happy Tuesday, and welcome back to your favourite podcast, Confessions of a Trainwreck. I'm Phoebe, your podcast host, resident trainwreck, and I hate to say it, but officially also now a TikTok addict. I actually don't know what's worse, the fact that I'm this late to the party, or the fact that I'm 31 and probably far too old to even be at the party, but as they say, age is just a number. Look, to be fair, I did download it during lockdown along with 98% of the rest of the world's population and recorded maybe 2 videos because I still didn't really know how to use it. But now, I would go as far to say that it is the most used app on my whole phone. I do not even want to know the percentage of my screen time that is used on TikTok. Anyway, I grossly digress. This week, I am thrilled to welcome back one of my best gal pals back to the podcast, who has been here since the very start. And I mean that quite literally, because she was in the very first episode where we talked about breakdowns. And you know what? Since then, nothing has changed, because she is still the first person I go to when I'm crying for no reason at all. This episode feels very nostalgic. And I'm very, very excited to welcome back Nikki to the podcast.
Well, cheers!
With water, is that bad luck?
I mean, it's water in a whiskey glass.
It counts whiskey.
For something.
And it's a school night.
Yeah, we're not that hardcore anymore.
We've already had one wine.
Yeah, that's
so we're
my
not
limit
totally.
On a school night. If I let it go, oh my God! You didn't even
go
get
home,
it
you're
in
drunk.
Your mouth.
And I just spilt the water on your couch. And my
laptop.
Computer.
Not good.
Whoops. We're not off to a great start.
It's the whiskey glass.
Welcome back to the podcast, Nikki.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It has been a while. And Nikki's dog, Rudy, in the background.
Yeah. Shush, Rudy, please.
It's
You're
okay.
embarrassing me with your
He just wants
scuffling.
To be on the show.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness.
He's all right.
He'll calm down
this
in
dog.
A minute.
Just before we get into the topic of this week's episode, I just wanted to quickly tell this little story about why you're named Vagina in my phone.
Yes, I remember this. It was back when Blackberries
were a thing.
Really cool.
Just because your name pops up on my phone a lot as a notification, and I always forget that it's a bit abrasive when you see it and you're not sure why Vagina is texting me all the time.
So the story goes that we were trying to get your BlackBerry to say different words.
Yeah, so basically you could set, back in the day before iPhones, when I had a BlackBerry, you could set the person who was calling you with a personalised ringtone.
Yeah, so the phone would read out
the name.
Is calling you.
Yeah. And what,
so
we must
funny.
Have been like early 20s and thought that that was just the most hilarious thing that had ever happened to us.
I still lived with my parents. So we had to be under 23.
And at now 31, I still haven't updated you as a contact in my phone.
I love that.
And sometimes I go to text you and try and type in Nikki, and it's not. I don't have any Nikki saved in my phone.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, where is she? And then I remember.
Under V.
Swipe your V place. So, actually, speaking of living with your parents, that is a perfect segue to what I want to talk to you about today. And that is the moment you realise that you're turning into your parents.
Yeah.
And this is different for us because
bleak.
Often, well, not often, I mean, I think I just have to accept the fact now that I have turned into my mother 100%. But you're different because you have taken more after your father.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's crazy. So it's a sobering moment when I catch myself out being him.
Does it happen often?
It's happening more and more. Yeah, I'm sure. How old's he? 70. I'm sure by the time I'm 70, I'll be as mad as he is.
Yeah, my mum's. Oh God, I can never remember if she's 63 or 64. I think she's 63. She'll be happier with 63.
Yeah, go down.
Unless she's 62, in which case she'll be very mad.
Very mad.
But I have no doubt that I'm headed in the same direction. So basically, we've prepared a couple of realizations.
Yeah.
That we're just going to go through it. In fact, people feel better about the fact that they probably too are turning into their parents.
We're all having some really scary times. We'll get through it together.
And the apple couldn't fall closer to the tree.
Yeah.
Do you want to start or should
I? Another apple tree.
Do you want to start
you
or should
go.
I? Okay.
You go.
My first one is falling asleep in dark places. And that doesn't matter what time of the day it is.
Okay.
And as you know, I'm quite a troubled sleeper and I've always struggled a lot with my sleep.
Yeah.
But to put it in context, I remember the worst time this happened to my mum was when she took me and my little sister to see a movie at the cinema. I actually think it was Austin Powers 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the middle of the day. We were in school, so it must have been a Saturday or a Sunday. I think it was like a 10 a.m. session or something. And because the lights went out, she fell cold hard asleep. Her neck went back and she was doing those snores that you do when you're asleep until you wake yourself up and your head kind of bops and you realize where you are.
Vicky.
She does that all the time. And I was always like, how does this happen to her?
Mm.
But
mm.
The apartment that I live in now, Damon has installed all Alexa light bulbs. Okay. So you can control them from your phone and by voice.
That's awesome.
So you can dim certain lights in certain parts of the house to create this like super atmospheric atmosphere.
Yeah. I'm digging
double
it.
Double atmosphere. And because we have a projection on a TV, every night feels like you're at the movies.
Yeah.
But cannot stay awake to get through a TV show. And 2 weeks ago, we started a 6-part documentary series, which usually would take 3 nights. Like you'd average, yeah, what, 2 episodes a night?
Yeah.
It took us 10 days to get through because I kept falling asleep because he kept dimming the lights.
Are you the most annoying girlfriend ever?
Literally.
Yeah.
We have very different sleep schedules also. I get up at 5 every single morning, which means I need to be asleep by 10, which doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But he's a night owl, so he won't go to bed till like,
yeah,
very late. Midnight. Anyway, that is not what we're talking about today, but I think I'm literally solar powered by the light.
Yeah, and when the lights go out, Phoebe goes out.
Absolutely. And yeah, when we went to Darwin a couple of weeks ago, the hotel we stayed in had those blackout curtains.
I love them.
And I can't sleep in. Like, even on the weekend, my body clock is programmed to wake me up at 5 a.m.
Mm.
But when we were in Darwin and we had the blackout curtains, I didn't wake up until like 9:30.
That's amazing. Good for you. Good for blackout curtains.
But yeah. Can't stay awake.
Yeah. So your mum passes out still?
Still.
Wow.
In that any time it's dark, she will fall asleep. You could, and I like think little... I'm now becoming like her.
I was going to say possums, but that's not right. They're nocturnal.
Yeah. I don't know if it's nocturnal. I think it's just solar powered.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not falling asleep. My dad does that too, actually, from years of like international travel with work. He's programmed himself to fall asleep on a plane. So the same happens with movie seats. Like anything that his body thinks is a plane seat will make him fall into a 12-hour stupor.
And he trained himself to do that.
Yeah.
Can you?
It's pretty impressive. No, I can't sleep anywhere except a bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I am doing like him is, I guess, cleaning. Like my dad's very clean. My whole family's very clean. I'm very clean, but I guess my standards and expectations for cleaning have gone into a different stratosphere as I've gotten older.
How so?
I think one thing I remember being really frustrated with my dad was he can't leave the house if there's like a bench not wiped or, you know, stuff everywhere. He wants the house to be in order, which I do get it, but I never did it unless I had to. By force. And now...
Unless you were getting pocket money from the chores.
Yeah, or like, yeah, threatened with how much I would have to clean. So now that I own my own house and have to keep it sort of clean, I've gone this crazy level where I can't handle anything being on the benches. So I'll wipe and wipe and wipe. I missed my bus to work because I was literally running out the door. And I knew that if I didn't leave the house this second, I was going to miss the bus. And I turned to grab, like, my house keys and saw crumbs all over the bench and just had to start wiping. I couldn't handle it and missed the bus. So I think I'm getting a little bit more pedantic.
Do you think that's, like, a house pride thing?
I think I definitely care more than I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do get that one because I can't stand anything on the benches either, but like anything.
Mm.
So, you know, that top drawer that everyone has in a kitchen that's just full of like envelopes and Stanley knives and rubber bands and anything that is left on our kitchen bench goes straight into that drawer.
Yeah. Well, that's my other thing that I've noticed I've started doing, and it used to drive me berserk when I lived at home, was I would get piles of my stuff that I'd left scattered around the house organized in a tray on my bed to be like, all your stuff was everywhere. Why was it everywhere? Here it is organized for you. Don't be so messy. It used to send me insane because I was like, I left that hair tie on the side of the couch on purpose. And now I do that. Like, I gather up all my boyfriend's stuff and put it in a box on the end of the bed. To be like, all your electrical cables and those weird bands that you wrap around your hands when you go boxing are
wraps
everywhere.
Does he love living here?
Yeah.
I think, and this is, I mean, I hate to say this because it's such a gender stereotype, but I think I've noticed it definitely in myself and in a lot of my circle of friends, is that the women are more pedantic about the way things are put in the house.
But I get it from my dad, so it can't be a gender thing.
That's good to know. No, that's very good to know.
Yeah. It's it's one of those catch out moments where I'm like, oh God, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This habit's developed somehow.
It could be a worse habit than having a clean house.
Yeah. Yeah. What's other ones that you've had?
A deep, deep empathy for all animals.
Okay. I do know this about Vicky. Like, I've heard the stories about her feeding watermelon to thirsty ants.
That was the best segment I ever did when I had a radio show.
Yeah.
The segment about her leaving little chunks of watermelon out on her bench in summer so that the ants could stay hydrated.
Yeah.
That is something I will honestly never forget, but she has so many stories like that. Like, I remember one time, like, you need this background to realize why I'm the way that I am. She was spraying surface spray, like cleaning down the benches.
Yeah.
And she accidentally got a little bit on a spider's leg and she was like, oh my God, it's going to get poisoned. So she tried to rinse it off underwater, but accidentally drowned him and he died.
Of course.
Because spiders aren't, they can't,
they're not,
swim.
Yeah,
they're not supposed aquatic. To go in water. They're land mammals. They're not mammals, whatever they are.
Arachnids.
And then one time we went to Indooroopilly when I was in high school, and you know when you're in a Westfield, if you don't live in Brisbane, but if you live in a Westfield and you park at the top car park and there's those winding stairs with the big bay windows at the top of the shopping centre, we saw a bird stuck in there and she made me get on her shoulders and rescue this bird from the middle of the shopping centre.
Strong lady.
One time she was walking and saw an injured turkey and someone had wrapped string all around his little leg, and she took off her shirt and wrapped the turkey in it and took him to the vet.
Oh my God.
So this is just what I have grown up around.
She's amazing.
And I never thought I'd be as crazy as her when it came to animals until literally last night.
Mm.
Last night I was going for a lovely river walk, and there's this beautiful block of apartments that have an infinity pool, and the infinity pool goes, like, looks onto the river.
Yeah.
And I was just casually walking past, and there was a little water dragon lizard just absolutely having a bathe in the infinity pool and looking out over New Farm.
Oh my God.
And I just thought, you are such a king. And I actually stopped and took a photo of him and sent him to my mum and also to my boyfriend. And then last night I couldn't stop thinking about the lizard. And I wanted to go back this morning, but I couldn't because I had to go to work today. And then I photoshopped a crown onto the picture of the lizard's head and sent it to my boyfriend, and he didn't reply. But I just wonder what the lizard's doing, like what he's thinking about, if he's okay, if he's had dinner, if he lives in that apartment, if he regularly goes into the pool.
Yeah.
Things that aren't normal thoughts to be having about a lizard that you've met once.
You like
I didn't
him.
Even meet him. We didn't even speak.
You love him.
This is the logic of a person that feeds watermelon to ants.
Yeah. If you could feed the lizard, what would you give him?
I don't know why my head just went to dog food. Like, would...
No.
No?
Like peas or something.
What?
Like snap peas.
Peas?
Yeah.
But it wasn't just... You know, there's water dragons. Like, it was like a dinosaur lizard.
Yeah. Don't they eat greens?
I don't know. Maybe I'll take back a stalk of broccoli tomorrow. Bit of kale. It's still there.
Go give him a little buffet.
I'm going to put this picture on my Instagram so people know what I'm talking about when they listen to this.
Yeah. So can I check, when you messaged Damon, you'd already sent him the straight up lizard photo?
Oh yeah, we'd spoken about it.
And then later the next day you resent the lizard photo now with a crown stuck on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he just ignored it. And then a few hours later said something else unrelated to the lizard. And I was like, no, you've definitely seen it. You're just choosing not to re-engage in the discussion about the lizard.
Good decision.
Okay, please change the subject. What's your next one?
My next one, I guess... this is actually something I do have to pull myself up on all the time, where I have these kind of, cold moments where I'm like, oh, gosh, we're the same person. It's how I talk to people that I don't know. So I'm a chatty person.
Yeah.
And... I hadn't realised that when I meet someone I don't know, like you're ordering a coffee and it's a barista that you don't know or a barista you've seen once or twice, the way that I talk to them is like I am desperate to become their friend.
I thought you were going to say you speak really loudly. Do you know how sometimes older people do that?
No. It's like, I don't know. My dad is good at making friends with everybody because he talks to everybody. You know, like if he was getting, I don't know, a parking ticket from someone, he would probably get that guy's number so that he could send him some interesting articles on like walking and doing parking tickets. And I feel like I've somehow picked up this habit and I get pulled up on it by my boyfriend because I'd be like, why are you boring these people with all the details of
why? Like, what would you say? So if you went to get a coffee from a random coffee shop, what would happen? Worst case scenario.
It's like a full stream of consciousness. I'll be like, how are you going? Do you have a busy day ahead of you? Oh, yeah, I've got a busy day ahead of me. This is what I'm going to do with my day. Do you have plans for the evening? Oh, yeah, that's nice. That sounds really fun. Do you often do that in the evening? It's like very random, intense interview questions.
What are you ordering that you have time to have such lengthy conversations?
It's before I order it. That's when I really catch myself because I can see them start to get desperate for me to shut up and tell them what my coffee order is. Okay. And I haven't realised that I've gone on a mad long tangent trying to be friends or be friendly.
But they would never shut you down.
No, but you can see it in their eyes. Sometimes they don't want to talk anymore.
I think just read the room. Like maybe if there's a massive line behind you,
that's what
just
I'm not
stop
good
it.
At.
How's your day?
That's what I'm not good at. And I think that's what makes me feel like I'm probably turning into my dad because he's friendly so much that he would ignore the social cues to make a friend. And I'm a bit like that now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But he is popular.
He is. And he knows a lot of stuff.
Yeah. See, that's the difference. He's imparting knowledge. Like he'll be like, hi, lady that I'm ordering a coffee from. I noticed that you're wearing diamond earrings. Let me tell you about the history of the diamond. And I'm more like, let me tell you about my whole life.
Let me tell you about my Pilates class this morning. Maybe you should just learn a fact about coffee or something before you go to the coffee shop.
Mm.
To be like, hey, are these beans Arabica? Really did you know that?
Would probably make it worse. Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying to scorch the habit, not fuel it.
I went to the dentist last week and it was like, you know, when you have to go pay and then you're waiting and I was talking to the other person that was waiting to pay and you just end up in that awkward, like, I don't know how to end this conversation, but I started it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot.
Maybe just redirect it to places where you know it's going to be reciprocated. Like, you know how Uber drivers and stuff love to have a chat because there is actually the capacity to have...
You are
an
stuck
undivided trap.
Yeah. I do love Ubers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like they would have the most fascinating conversations.
Do you know, that's so funny, actually, because when Uber first started, I remember telling my dad he should become an Uber driver.
He would be the best.
People would have to talk nonstop and listen to all of his, like, knowledge.
Then rate him 5 stars.
He would get, 10 stars.
I would Uber with him any day.
Yeah, me too.
My next one, and this is like a random physical one.
Mm.
I blow dry my hair the same way that she does, which is very unorthodox, I think.
Upside down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen you do that.
Yeah. So if any hairdressers or like beauty professionals are listening, probably don't, because this is probably terribly damaging to all of my hair follicles.
Oh, no.
But I used to watch my mum. My mum's always had very immaculate hair. I make fun of her because I call it the triangle hair, but it must just be the way that she blow dries it. I used to watch her when I was younger,
yeah,
get ready for work when I was getting ready for school, and she would tip her head upside down, yeah, and with a big paddle brush, she'd just brush it down and dry it upside down, because this is the time pre-hair straighteners.
Yes.
Hair straighteners weren't a thing then.
That's
and
right.
So to get your hair straight with a blow dryer without doing like the whole,
yeah,
you know, round paddle brush thing that just takes hours and hours,
mm,
she would literally just blow dry it upside down, mm, and then when it's like pretty much dry, you flip it up and then just give it a quick like one over with a cool blast when it's done.
Mm.
And I still to this day blow dry my hair like that.
Yeah. It's a weird habit when you know so much about, yeah, hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it's wrong.
Yeah. It's not wrong. It's just maybe old-fashioned.
Just different.
Don't know. Maybe it's
I don't
common.
Know anybody else who blow dries their hair like that. And you I actually do don't know where my mum got that from.
I've heard of it being blow dried upside down. Maybe in the 80s.
Yeah, checks out. Do they even have hair in the 80s? I feel like everyone got the Demi Moore haircut in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tomato Connor. Nothing compares to that cut.
Okay, my next one. Kind of connected to the earlier one, but it's the way that I talk to people on text or in email. And similar to like madly chatting to people, trying to make friends, I feel like I, in emails to professionals, like a financial person, a person at the bank, can't help myself but include a first line of like, hey, how are you? How are you going? It was really nice to see you the other week and blah, 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 like a long random sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never do that at work. I know email etiquette, but I can't help myself when it's someone that I would like to
really?
Like me. Yeah.
Have you done your DISC profile?
Oh, years ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I am.
Yeah. We did that at work at the end of last year, and it actually cut a lot of tension and conflict in the team, because some people, and I am one of those people who is a hardcore people pleaser and I just want everyone to like me,
yeah,
but I always start emails and texts and stuff with a nice sentiment like, hello Nikki,
yeah,
happy Monday, I hope you had a fantastic weekend and you're settling into the week well, and then get into what I want to say.
Yeah.
So if I then receive an email from somebody who's, so I'm an S, if, yeah, I get an email from someone who's a D, they're very direct, so they don't fluff around with the stuff, they just tell you, it'll be like, Phoebe, need this on my desk by 4, and then in my head I'm like, why do you hate me?
So I still do the nice sentence at work, because when I first started working in a professional environment, I got given the best piece of advice, which was an email or anything in writing will be taken twice as negatively as you intend it and half as positively as you intend it. So by adding a one-liner to all your emails to say, hey, hope you had a really nice weekend, or at the end say, hey, hope you're heading into a really great weekend and great work this week, it ensures that the email is interpreted positively because you've gone above what the expectation would be.
I get that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, same.
I'm very much for that.
But that's not what I'm talking about when I talk to like the bank or
no,
real estate agents. I'm like, how are your children? It's way too much. And the other thing that, so my dad...
So your dad does that?
Well, I just think he... I don't even know how he writes emails, but I just think he doesn't miss an opportunity for a chat.
Whoever it's with.
No matter what. And, yeah, he... So he is a big reader. He loves to read articles and, I don't know, like, university papers and all of that stuff. He's very into it. And he sends lots of it out. So I am on this mailing list that he sends interesting articles to. My boyfriend's on it. My sister's on it. A couple people that he's met once or twice probably have gotten onto it. It's massive. Like he shares what he knows with everyone. And I feel like I'm starting to do that. So I'll watch like a good documentary once a year. But I have to like email everyone and be like, here's a synopsis of this documentary.
I love that. It's like the impartation of information. You're passing it on.
Yeah.
That's good karma.
Maybe.
Good mateship.
Okay.
If you know them.
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't email a bank and be like, hey, do you want a Netflix recommendation?
I watched My Octopus Teacher.
What?
What do you mean, what? Phoebe, there's this Netflix documentary at the moment. Let me send you a quick synopsis. It's called My Octopus Teacher.
Wait, is this the last thing that you watched?
Yeah.
Save it for Fast Fire Friday.
Okay. Okay.
We're getting there so soon. Do you have one more? Because I have one more.
No, you go. I think I'm done.
This is just a very small one. I mean, it's large in the grand scheme of my life, but I don't really have much to say about it.
Mm.
It's just that I drive with the same level of anxiety as my mum. I get highly stressed when I have to drive a car, especially if it's to places I don't know where I'm going to park or places I've never been before.
Okay.
And my mum has always been like that. And I remember she used to get so panicked if she'd have to, like, drop us at a new after-school sport place or a new ballet rehearsal place on the weekends, and it used to really stress her out when she drove. Mm-hmm. And she also can't use Google Maps and she can't use Rapid Exit. So I'm actually not sure how she gets to places she's never been before.
Yeah.
I think she said she looks them up online and gives it a once over and then just finds it somehow.
Wings it.
But I am very much like that, as my boyfriend pointed out the other day when we were driving and I tried to change lanes and he was like, chill out. You're just changing lanes. You don't need to get stressed about that.
It is difficult driving. You know me, not a good driver either.
No judgment.
Speaking of Google Maps, I don't know how it happened, but my Google Maps setting got changed to terrain.
What?
So
that's a thing?
Yeah, instead of showing you the map that's kind of like a cartoon version of the streets and the road and the blocks, it's like a satellite picture of them.
That is so stressful.
It made me get so stressed. I was losing my shit over it. I had to turn the map off because I was like, I can't look at this. It's so busy. It's like a very busy picture that I can't decipher where the road is on.
You'd feel like you're playing a video game or something.
Yeah. And I had to get Sam to fix it for me. And it was literally just like a tiny button at the bottom of the Google Maps app. But anyway, I feel your pain, Vicky. It's very hard to read directions.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, we always
directions
finish with a...
to where?
Oh, my God, Siri. Not the
oh
time.
Oh, my God. That was Nikki's Apple Watch, by the way. Siri just wanted in on the podcast.
She wanted to help me. She's obviously picked up on my habit of interrupting people with random information.
Are you going to tell her about your last Netflix recommendation?
Hey, Siri, you should really watch this doco.
I mean, I don't think this warrants ending with advice, but I'm going to end it with some advice anyway.
Okay.
My advice is, if you discover the fact that you are turning into one or both of your parents, don't fight it.
No.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
If you miss the lizard, go and visit the lizard.
That's right.
If you want to feed him, bring him a snack.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And I think you should visit that lizard and take him some snap peas.
Yeah.
My advice is, I don't know if my dad will listen to this, but look, I think you're a top bloke and I don't mind if I end up being as crazy as you are.
Love you, Mum. Don't you second guess me, no,
no. Confessions of a train wreck. If you haven't subscribed yet, hello, do it now. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, rate me and write a review. See you again next week for Trainwreck Tuesday.